We're talking about moving back home as a young adult. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's college graduation season. Students graduate, they get handed their diploma, and then many move back home. According to census data, more than a third of young adults between the ages of 18 and 34 lived at home in 2015. That's up from 26% in 2005. Parents, what issues did you run into? Was it around laundry or food, drinking or smoking? How did you work through it? Young adults, are you back in your childhood bedroom? What is your experience returning home? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Alexandra Solomon is a clinical psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University, where she's a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Psychology. Alexandra, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kate.
Well, so when students go off to college, there are tears often, and when they come back, they might feel like crying too. What do you think is one of the most common issues families run into when students return home for the summer or perhaps after graduating as young adults?
Sure. Well, I think that the most important thing to keep in mind is that change is hard for all of us, even if it's change that is wanted, that's anticipated, and that has lots of blessings, which certainly, you know, a family reuniting like this, there are lots of blessings, but change is difficult and it's stressful. And so just, it's really important for everyone to try to avoid these conversations that are about good, bad, right, wrong, and just kind of hold on to the fact that this is complicated. We're in a new chapter of our family's story. So everyone needs to tread a bit lightly.
So when you say issues of good, bad, right, wrong, what are some of those perhaps black and white issues?
Yeah, I think that one of the challenges that parents go through during this launching your kids' journey, which is a journey because it doesn't happen all at once. And like you're saying, about a third of college students will head back home even after graduation. Parents are really adjusting from being sort of this top-down family leader to being a bit more on the sidelines and having to take more of a collaborative approach and having to know when to listen more than talk.
So when the student goes away, what happens while they're away? How do they grow and mature and change? And can parents really see that maturity from a distance?
Mm-hmm. It may be hard to see, and it may not become clear until that college student returns home, which is why we're saying that the return home, whether it's for the summer or post-graduation, that it's a process. So it may not be evident on day one, because especially on day one, college students probably come home very, very exhausted and may need to just have a few days of really letting down. I think it can be easy for parents to forget how intense a college academic year is, especially finals. So the first glimpse they may have of their college student is probably a pretty raggedy glimpse. And it may take a while for the college student's better, more mature self to emerge, but it's in there somewhere under the haze of exhaustion and some sadness. I think it may be hard for parents too, that this, they get their college student home and they, the parent, are so excited to connect and debrief and download, and their college student may be beyond exhausted, but also sad. You know, we talk about homesickness, but I think there's also, it's really quite common to have college sickness, you know, to really miss the friendships they've established. And so parents can, I think, struggle a bit to not take that so personally.
A parent might be thinking, well, my child is now an adult living under my roof for free, and that is a privilege. So how do we negotiate that area, you know, that argument that they're here and living expense free, you know, for the summer or perhaps after college?
Right. I really like the idea of parents and college students or young adults just sitting down face to face and really looking together at what expectations are, and to have that conversation very much from like a shoulder to shoulder position. Like, we're going to look together at what everyone needs in order to make this living situation best for all involved. I like that much more than a parent saying to the kid, this is the line, like this, like we are telling you how it's going to be. I don't know that we need to do quite that same top-down parenting. I think we can get to the same end goal from a different space, which is more collaborative and more like, okay, so let's figure out how to make this work. What do you need from us? And here's what we need from you. And I think from that collaborative space, parents can say, we really need you to be contributing in some way to whatever it is, you know, groceries or housework or expectations to drive, you know, younger siblings around or whatever it is. But I think that that conversation really can happen from how do we make this best for all of us?
We're talking with Alexandra Solomon. She's a licensed clinical psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University. Parents, how did your young adults' newfound independence change the way they interacted with you? Were you initially upset about it, but found a way to accept the fact that you can't keep parenting them like you did in high school? Join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Alexandra, students that went away to college have also had the chance to develop themselves personally, figure out who they are outside of their relationship to their immediate family. How can these personality changes perhaps drive a wedge between these young adults and their parents?
Yeah, that certainly can happen. And I think what's helpful is for parents to prepare for that, to know that they are, that this is a time of massive kind of reworking and expansion, and that that's really normal. And so they should not expect, you know, the high schooler that they launched to be what comes home, what walks in the door, and that there probably are going to be some shifts. College is a time of really questioning the underpinnings of what you've been taught to believe, especially if a college student is going from, let's say, a relatively small kind of homogenous community into a really big, diverse community where they have been presented with new ideas, new ways of looking at the world. And so it's incumbent upon the college student to come home and talk about what they've learned in a way that parents can hear, right? College students bear a responsibility to kind of talk about what they've learned and how they've grown in ways that really invite their parents in rather than kind of like finger wagging or blaming or shaming. And it's helpful for parents to, rather than say like, you've changed in a way that is derogatory, to say, wow, like, okay, I'm with you, but this is a lot, you know, and just to expect it and to resist the urge to be critical. And perhaps then behind closed doors with your spouse, say, oh my gosh, who is this person that's just come home? reserve that conversation for behind closed doors.
What about a student who comes home who perhaps is exhibiting signs of depression or anxiety? What should we be looking for there?
Yeah. So what we're looking for there would be struggles to kind of stay out of bed that are above and beyond what I'm saying about kind of normative exhaustion. If they, you know, college students, I will say that what, you know, I've been teaching at Northwestern University for getting close to 20 years, and I have seen a really big shift around mental health awareness on college campuses and students' awareness about their own mental health. So I think we are doing a really nice job of helping students understand their struggles, identify their struggles. And so students may be able to come home and say to their parents, you know, I'm not doing so well. And then parents and students ought to be working together to help their child get some therapy over the summer, and see if they can kind of get restabilized before the school year starts again.
What kind of destabilization happened during that year in college? Or what is happening? Should the parent be probing what's going on campus to figure out where this anxiety or perhaps depression is coming from?
I think it's really great to open up conversations about, tell me about your school year, what's been challenging for you. And I think one of the things, that happens certainly early in college can be a reckoning for college for students, who've come from sort of top of their class in their high schools, and they get to a college campus and they realize that everybody on that college campus has been top of their class. And so they may have felt like a rather big fish in a small pond in high school, and then they get to college, and there can be deep questions of self-worth and sort of competitiveness and where do I fit in, and then just lots of questions around identity of what do I want to, be when I grow up, and where do I want to contribute. And I think parents can be really affirming around the idea that this is a process. Parents can be validating about this makes sense. This is a hard time. And parents, I think, can check in, especially, another way that this may play out is around substance use. And sometimes parents will be aware that their kids are using substances. And I think that's a great, if there's concern, I think that's a great question to bring to a therapist and have some eyes on that college student and understand, is this kind of normative experimentation with substance use, or is this really substance use that is becoming an addiction or is masking an underlying anxiety or depressive disorder?
There is a growing number of young adults who live in their parents' home. According to census data from recent years, it's the most popular living arrangement for young adults. Clinical psychologist Alexandra Solomon is our guide as we talk about the relationship dynamics that come out of this living situation. You can join in with your experience, your questions, 800-642-1234. Students, what was the hardest part about moving back home after college or even for the summer? Was it by choice? Are you struggling or thriving? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to this in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. More young adults are still living at home than was the case a generation ago. We're talking about that arrangement when a young adult moves back home. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to Pew, a record 64 million Americans are now living in multi-generational households. And we're talking about what home life is like. What are the struggles and drawbacks? What are the good things that have come out of this living arrangement? Join in with your questions, your experiences at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. Northwestern State University clinical psychologist Alexandra Solomon stays with us. Alexandra, you were talking there a little bit about substance abuse, and young adults who return home from college might also have developed a different relationship to alcohol. What are some healthy and reasonable restrictions, perhaps, that parents can set in the home?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think especially if there are younger siblings in the home still, I think it's really appropriate for parents to just establish a healthy boundary and say, this is, we need to work with you on this. And this is nothing we want your younger brother or younger sister to see, and to just make that expectation really clear. And obviously to be really clear with the college student about, not drinking and driving and making those kinds of safe choices, because it's different, to drink on a college campus, is different around, oftentimes college students don't even have cars, so it wouldn't even be a choice. So a conversation that's a reminder about, hey, this is different, and what's your plan if you are going to drink, and just renegotiating that conversation, which families may not have talked about, certainly in high school, but it's a good time to revisit that and for parents to be clear what the boundary is.
How much should parents expect their young adult to adhere to a curfew, or is curfew out the window?
Well, I think the reframe is around, we're sharing space, and what do we all need in order to share this space together? And the red flag that we're looking for is resentment, the kind of building up of resentment. And so I think parents can say, listen, we're aware that this is going to go better from our end if we just have a sense of where you're going to be and having you check in with us. And we know that when you're on campus, you're not used to having to check in with people, but it really is a matter of courtesy, and it's a matter of just kind of keeping the space between us, a space of fondness and love and friendliness. And it's going to go a lot better from our end if we have a sense of where you are and when we can expect you home again. So I think that's a nice way of reframing it, not as a power and control and curfew kind of a matter, but more like we're all in this together and here's what we all need in order to make it work.
So let's go a little bit back to rent. Is there a right way to charge rent? Should parents wait until their young adult has had a chance to get a job, or should they set a deadline so that the young adult knows when it, you know, to start sending out resumes?
I think definitely having a deadline or a checkpoint, you know, maybe parents, I think it's, again, parents need to track what they need in order to prevent that buildup of resentment. So their parents are walking this line between coming down so hard that it creates tension and hostility versus saying nothing. And then they end up feeling like a doormat and feeling resentful from that space. So parents are trying to kind of walk a middle line there. And so it may be like, listen, we understand you just got home. You're exhausted. You need some time. But July 1st, the expectation is that you will, whatever, you know, have resumes out. So I think parents can say, by this point, we'll need to have a conversation, or by this point, we expect, or by September 1st, we're going to be working on a rent agreement. I think there can be just these sort of check-in dates. And again, the more it can be that everyone has their eye on the same goal, whether that's that the kid is, you know, living in their own apartment within 6 months or a year, like whatever the kind of grander vision is, I think that makes it easier to put those mini deadlines in place.
Alexandra, what is the biggest obstacle in the way of parents and their children making progress in their relationship when things are contentious? And, you know, what is getting in the way of parents and their young adults growing a better relationship?
I think a lot of times it's resistance to change. I think it is sometimes the younger generation having a hard time seeing their parents as human beings, imperfect human beings. In the classes that I teach, both my undergraduate students and my graduate students, both of my classes, which are relationship development classes, I have them do an assignment where they have conversation about love, about relationship, about understanding their family story. And both of my classes, that's a vital assignment. And what my students say more than anything else is how important it was for them to talk to their parents as people rather than just as parents, which is a sort of a far narrower definition of humanity, right? Than seeing their parents as sort of these full people who have a past, a present, and a future. And so if the younger generation can't do that and they are locked into the view they had of their parent in high school, then the younger generation is going to be sort of ready for a power struggle, ready to fight, ready to perceive their parents as whatever, you know, rigid or not understanding. So that's, I think the younger generation needs to update their view of who their parents are. And then for parents, just that letting go of control. And for sometimes for parents, it is really being able to understand the kid they have versus the kid that they thought they would have or the kid they think they should have. And so really meeting their kid on their kid's terms and dropping the story of how they thought it should have gone, which is I think the biggest challenge of parenting from the time our babies are born all the way through, is continuing to get to know our kids as they are versus seeing them through the lens of our own expectation or our own projection or our own shortcomings or foibles.
Well, let's say a college student's old bedroom has been repurposed into a study or perhaps claimed by a younger sibling. How can that territory, how can that affect the way that young adult feels?
Yeah, I think that then the student probably would feel like, okay, I'm really not being welcomed back home. And it may be that the family, you know, if a family really, if their deep truth is we cannot have you back in our home, that's a very different kind of a conversation. And it may be a great time to bring in a family therapist. So that is, when we think about the large field of therapy, there are some therapists called marriage and family therapists who specialize in working with people in their system, in their context. And so it's a great time for family therapy. So this would be the parents and the college students going to a therapist together and having this conversation there about, here's why we made the choice to get rid of your bedroom. Here's why we can't have you come back home. Here's what we can do. Here's what we can't do. And working with a therapist on it.
So speaking of siblings, though, how do relationships with siblings change when a college student comes home or a college student is away, a young adult is away for quite a while?
Mm-hmm. Well, if the college, right, if the younger ones haven't launched yet, I think it can be, I think it's really incumbent upon the older sibling to be kind, to be patient. I think that there can be a sense of, you know, once you've moved away from the house, the world looks a bit different. The family household looks a bit different. And it's incumbent upon the older sibling to be gentle, to be patient, you know, maybe a bit of a less is more, not needing to kind of tell the younger sibling, you know, all of what they're doing wrong, and to practice some patience and some humility, I would say.
Alexandra, we've been talking about the more contentious issues that have come up when young adults come home. But what are the more positive things? What is the positive side to this? Do we see young adults more appreciative of their parents, perhaps?
Well, that's certainly what I see so much with the college students and the graduate students that I work with, is a lot of gratitude for everything that parents have done in order to make college possible. I mean, this is what I would want college students to really be thinking about, are the sacrifices that the parents have made to make college possible. And sometimes what that does is trigger within the younger generation a sense of guilt, feeling guilty that their parents worked so hard to make this possible, feeling guilty that college was possible for them and it hadn't been possible for their parents. And with that sense of guilt, I always want my college students to be shifting it from guilt to gratitude, feeling grateful. I think that's a really big difference. When we feel guilty, when we feel ashamed, we tend to pull back and shut down, and sometimes we get passive aggressive. And so to shift from, I feel guilty for all that my parents have done for me and the fact I'll never be able to repay it, to I feel grateful. And what might you do and say from that space of gratitude instead?
Alexandra, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Alexandra Solomon is a licensed clinical psychologist at Northwestern University, author of Loving Bravely. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.